Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning, Lee.
Good morning, Tara.
All right, so 10 going on today. Where to begin? We do it all again. All right, I'm going to dive into this whole thing with Tim Scott. And he does this, our senator, wailing on a Republican. See, the problem with Republicans, he wrote, in an op-ed, is that we're just a bunch of racists and we need to stop saying a bunch of racist stuff. This drives me just crazy when Senator Scott does this, because I don't believe that Senator Scott, in all seriousness, I do not believe he cares about racism. I think he cares about self-advancement, because if he cared about racism or anti-Semitism or white supremacy, just once somewhere on the record, I would be able to find him criticizing the Democrats in case after case after case after case after endless case of them doing and saying horrifically racist stuff when they're not beating women. But Senator Scott has absolutely no interest in, criticizing the other side. And that's why I don't take him seriously. I don't think he cares about racism. I think he cares about making the Republican Party look bad so that he can get campaign funding donations from people who give to both Democrats and Republicans. They've got the deepest pockets. What he just did to Representative Steve King is, I think he owes him an apology. Because if you're going to do something like this in the Washington Post, and you're going to denigrate your own party as a bunch of racists who have a hard time hiding their racism, given the words that they use, then you better darn Skippy get your facts straight. And he didn't. He owed Representative Stephen King a phone call before he wrote that, and he clearly didn't make one. And he, what Tim Scott just did to the party and to Steve King is inexcusable. The sentence Steve King was accused of saying by the New York Times would have been racist had he said it. Would have been offensive. Here's what he was quoted as saying. White nationalist, white supremacist, Western civilization. How did that language become offensive? Well, that would have been offensive had he said it. It would have been a defense of white nationalism and white supremacy. Problem is, he didn't say it. The New York Times took the sentence he said, cut it in half, in the middle of the sentence, cut off the front end of the sentence. Okay, when you do that, AP style guide, I know, I have a journalism degree. When you take a sentence in the middle like that, the way that you are to report it is to show that you started in the middle and cut off whatever was there is with a quote sign, dot, 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 and a lowercase letter to clearly delineate you cut it in the middle. That is standard journalistic style. There's something called an AP style guide. It's like a rule book, a book of law for journalism, essentially. It's not actual federal law or anything like that, but it is how we do things. And that's what I did. I would have been busted and called up to my editor's office for doing a thing like this. And rightfully so. What the New York Times just did to Steve King is awful, but what Senator Tim Scott did was even worse. I mean, come on. It's a New York Times article. You know they do this. Call the guy before you accuse your own party of the racism that you won't even call out the left for. I'm sick of this from Senator Scott. I'm sorry, Lee. I just boiling over this morning. The real sentence was not white nationalist, white supremacist, Western civilization. How did that language become offensive? That is not what Representative King said. What Representative King said in the New York Times interview was this. He said, we discussed the worn out label racist and my observation that other slanderous labels have been increasingly used by have been increasingly assigned to conservatives by the left, who injected into our current political dialogue such terms as Nazi, fascist, comma, white nationalist, white supremacist, Western, and then dash Western civilization. How did that language become offensive? He was talking about the left using the terms Nazi, fascist, white nationalist, white supremacist. And then he pauses and says, Western civilization, how did that become offensive? That is a totally different meaning than what the Times did. They should be ashamed of themselves. They broke AP style to lie to their readers. This isn't even correct journalistic style. And for Tim Scott to flambé Representative Stephen King is a Steve King is a racist without a phone call. Did you really say it? I throw my hands up. And I've been on Senator Scott with for this for a long time. Look, if he wants to criticize as a black conservative what he feels are racist statements from Republicans from time to time, fine, have at it. If you're going to show me you really care about racism enough to take on the other side when they say it. But if you got not one word to say when the other side says this, Lee, I am disgusted with Senator Scott this morning. I am absolutely disgusted with him. I mean, this is ridiculous. To have done this, to not have made that courtesy call where he said, did you really say that? Because, you know, when I saw this quote, I thought, I've been listening to Representative King for many years, and this doesn't sound right. It doesn't pass the smell test.
Yeah, I agree. I have been following him for a while because he's a good conservative. In fact, I was at an event that he was at in Columbia for one of the presidential debates several years ago. Well, it was not actually a debate, but it was one of the forums put on by an organization that then Senator Jim DeMint was involved in. And this doesn't sound like him, and it doesn't surprise me things are taken out of context. But, you know, Senator Scott is not the only one, because apparently the leadership now in the House has stripped him of his committee assignments.
But Scott started it with this editorial.
Oh, I'm not saying, and it forced. I'm just simply saying this. There's others that are involved in this.
I know, but it forced the leadership to act. Scott's not just one person who criticized him. He led the charge, and that editorial, you know, did this. I mean, do you honestly, could just think for a second, could use your simple, basic common sense. Sixth grader could do this. Would Representative Stephen King sit down with the New York Times, mind you, and say, white nationalist, white supremacist, Western civilization, how did that language become offensive? Nobody in their right mind with an IQ above room temperature would do a thing like that. It doesn't make sense. My first question, I did not address this yesterday. I barely did it at the end of the show because I read it and I went, something meant right here. Something that just nobody does that with the New York Times. Nobody sits in front of the New York Times and defends white nationalism and white supremacy. They don't. I mean, this doesn't happen. And I guess as a person who has had that happen to them with the Greenville News, they came to a speech I gave. They did not quote one single line from that speech. And they used a style book trick. They didn't put quotes around it. They paraphrased me without using quotes. They completely lied about what I said, that ISIS was hatching a plot to take over the country. It was bizarre stuff that I wouldn't even say, but they didn't put quotes around it. But if you're not a savvy person who understands AP style and you've been a journalist, you think they just quoted me. They didn't. They paraphrased what I said, twisted it, and lied, and made me look like a fool, and then would not return my phone calls and emails when I challenged them on it. That's the Greenville News for you. So, I mean, I know how these people operate. If they can get four words in the middle of a sentence that they can twist, they will take them and use them. They are not journalists. They are Democrat Party embeds who happen to be working in a newsroom, as you say, Lee. So, I mean, for Tim Scott to do this, to fillet him like this, to force the leadership to strip him, I mean, that's what it did, of his committee, you know, memberships. Well, I mean, come on, let's just one small sample. I mean, the anti-Semitism, the racism, the hatred of the Democrat Party, we document it all the time. I mean, here's Hillary Clinton in the last 6 months talking about black people.
What do you think of Cory Booker's, and you didn't comment on him and you feel free?
Oh, I adore him.
What do you think about him saying kick them in the shins, essentially, start to get to that kind of political?
Well, that was Eric Holder.
Yeah, Eric Holder,
yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know they all look alike.
No, they don't.
Nothing?
Yeah. Crickets on that.
Nothing. That would have finished off a Republican, with Tim Scott apparently taking the knife and digging it into stabbing it into their heart, politically speaking. Nothing. How about Keith Ellison, number two, who used to hand out, but by the way, in Tim Scott's editorial, he mentions Louis Farrakhan, but doesn't mention that the number two in leadership of the Democrat Party distributed Farrakhan's newsletter, which praised Hitler, denigrated homosexuals, and said things about Jews I can't repeat here because we'll lose the station license. Nope. Nah, that's fine with Senator Scott. So Scott, Senator Scott is fine with anti-Semitism and racism. At least he doesn't condemn it when the left does it. But if the right is perceived as doing it, boy, he is there to finish them off. Senator Scott owes Representative Steve King a huge apology. He should be ashamed of himself. Good morning. All right. Coming up at 6:39, Must Hear Radio. You may be under the impression that pedophilia is illegal in America, and technically it is, unless you vote for the right people at the ballot box, in which case there's almost nothing you can't do anymore in America. It's called liberal privilege, and we've got a horrifying example of it. It's Must Hear Radio. You must tune in at 6:39. And if you do not, that's okay. You can listen on the podcast by texting the word podcast to 71307. All right, going to jump on the text line. I cannot believe what has just been done to Steve King, Representative Steve King. And I'm sorry, if this can happen to Representative Steve King, it can happen to anybody. You can go through the transcript and make a racist statement if you're willing to just use part of the sentence and leave the part out, as the New York Times is, that completely changes the meaning of the sentence that Steve King said. What he was saying is that he's sick and tired of racism being used, invented racism being used by the left. And now the words being used over and over, Nazi, white supremacist, white nationalist. And that was the context. And then he says, Western civilization. How did that get to be a bad word? I learned about it in school. We all did. We had history books called Western civilization. Well, what the New York Times did, and they do this. Again, I've had this done to me by the Greenville News. They can't find anything crazy you've said, but they want to make their editor happy by making you look crazy. So they twist your words. They take them out of context. And that's what happened to Representative Steve King. They took his words out of context in a horrific, horrific way. He was talking about the Democrats' accusations of racism. What they quoted him as saying was bad. I mean, if he'd said it, yeah, he should be stripped of his committee assignments. White nationalists, white supremacists, white civilization, Western civilization, had that language become offensive. Unfortunately, and only a journalist would know this, the Washington Post is lying to you here. So is the New York Times. Washington Post quoted them. This literally is a lie. Again, in journalism, one of the things you're taught, and you've probably seen this if you think about it when you've read an article before. If they're quoting somebody and they take what the person said from the middle of a sentence on, what you are to do, again, is to put quotes, dot, 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 and then a lowercase version to show, hey, listen, I'm quoting them from the middle of the sentence. There was something else here. And a lot of times journalists who are honest will cut off the beginning of the sentence just because it wandered and they don't have the space for it and that kind of thing. But to do it honestly, that's how you do it. I've written it. I've used that device many times. They lied. They started in the middle of a sentence, capitalized white nationalists as if that was the beginning of his sentence and put a quote there. They know better. I know every one of those journalists has a Warren AP style guide in their desk. We all used them. Style guide hasn't changed in decades with regard to that basic grammar kind of stuff. They lied. They absolutely lied. And again, my question to you this morning would be, does Senator Tim Scott owe Representative Steve King an apology? That would be my question. I mean, you're going to trash somebody for something they said in the New York Times, in the Washington Post, and you don't even bother to call them to say, hey, dude, did you say that? And Tim Scott went one worse. He blamed the whole party for this. Here's the headline on the Washington Post piece. Tim Scott, why are Republicans accused of racism? Because we're silent on things like this. No, sir, you're silent on the vast, gross racism and anti-Semitism of the Democrat side, which is getting worse by the day. I mean, folks, did you see what just happened? Do you remember during the Women's March? I mean, Women's March was organizing your children to march out of school in protest of you having guns. And literally in those weeks leading up to that, leaders of two of them, of the Women's March, praised Louis Farrakhan for an overtly anti-Semitic speech and homophobic speech. He likened Jews to likened homosexuals to Satan. He trashed Jews. They tweeted their support for that. And then when people were appalled and demanded they backtrack, the Women's March, the other leaders stood behind them. Eventually, they all had to reverse course because they needed your kids to march against you and your guns. Where was Tim Scott? Where was he? Where was Tim Scott when Hillary Clinton said black people all look alike, hard to tell them apart? That's been in the last 6 months. Nowhere. Nowhere. Where was Tim Scott when Antifa's been out of control, beating people, violence, and she's nowhere. The only thing he's reared his head to bother to have a major opinion about in recent months has been to hit President Trump over the head for wanting to stop birthright citizenship. And then in the same interview admitting, maybe Trump's right. Maybe he can stop it. I don't know. Well, shut up, Senator. Just shut up. I don't mean to be rude. Just shut up. Listen, the rest of us are trying to save the country, okay? If you don't want to be involved in that, then just go back to handing out medals to veterans. Somebody needs to do that and keep your mouth shut. But you got no credibility with me when you stick your head up only to fight racism and anti-Semitism when there's an opportunity to hit our side. If that's how you want to be, go join the Democrat Party. Then we'll know where you stand. Because see, on this show, and if you listen to this show regularly, nobody gets away with this stuff. Nobody on the right and nobody on the left. I go after them all. You have a partisan label. You don't escape. I'm doing that right now with Tim Scott. So I'm just asking you, Senator, please, if you're going to open your mouth, please apply the same standards to both sides. If you passionately feel you got to combat racism, anti-Semitism, and intolerance, then you start where it's the worst right now. You know what I'd like to hear from you, Senator Scott? I'd like to hear a condemnation of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who spent her campaign in picture after picture after picture with a sidekick, who ran for the New York City Council on a platform of anti-Semitism. He said the rent was too high in New York because of Jews. Why don't you start with her, sir? Then you could move on to Keith Ellison, the number two in the Democrat Party. Distributed a newsletter for Louis Farrakhan that praised Hitler for killing the Jews. Sounds kind of intolerant to me, Senator. See, if you cared about those things, then I might believe you were trying to do something other than just advance your political career at the expense of Trump and your fellow Republicans. Selfish. Shame on you. Coming up in the next segment, a lot of you have texted me, what would happen if illegal aliens, would have sent them to Nancy Pelosi's house? Yeah, she wouldn't want them there. Would she? We actually have an answer to that, and it's hilarious. You're going to have to wait till the next segment for that. But first, you probably thought pedophilia, child abuse of that kind, was illegal in the United States of America. Yeah, well, you thought wrong. That was before the dual justice system, where justice is only applied to those who don't vote for Democrats and everybody else gets away with everything else. I'll tell you, it's out of control, folks. It's everywhere. It pervades everything. And this is the worst example I have seen in a long time, and that's saying something. I have every pedophile in the upstate is now just tuned in. They've all texted each other. Well, we're going to get away with it now. Yeah, you are, but there's a catch. There's the catch. Yeah, you can't be messing with an American girl. You have to have one shipped in from Pakistan, then you do whatever you want. This is disgusting. Did you see the Associated Press? Okay. Associated Press is reporting it. So even like Tim Scott would believe this, our senator. I want to tell you the story. This is unbelievable. And this is one of thousands. There's a beautiful young woman by the name of Naila Amin. And she is currently trying to pull her life together. She's attending Nassau Community College in Garden City, New York. She grew up in foster care. She is a Muslim immigrant to America who has dual citizenship. And horrifically, at the ripe old age of 13, she was shipped back to Pakistan by her parents to marry a man who was 26. because, you know, we're totally down with that kind of thing here. She was forcibly assaulted by him as part of their marriage. Trying to keep this clean with kids in the car. Multiple times. And the second she was able to get back here, she ran away. I would love to meet her and talk to her. I'm going to try to hunt her down, actually. I've got it in my text. I think it's fascinating. She refused to be married to him. So she ran away. Lied to DSS officials about her background, would not tell them who her parents were, and ended up in foster care where she was raised. That takes guts. I admire her for that. Anyway, she spent most of her 20s pulling her life back together. But there was a reason she was so attractive to this 26-year-old man from Pakistan, aside from the fact that she's 13 and she's quite beautiful if you see the picture of her. Do you know why she was so attractive? She had a dual citizenship. So her parents could get a good deal of money for her if they sold her. I'm sorry, it's a bridal dowry. Isn't that how they talk about it? Isn't that what they say? To him, I mean, so he could get to 13-year-old, he's 26, and a visa to come to U.S. You're thinking, oh, wow, how'd that happen? That's an isolated case. It's not. Not even close. A new report prepared for the Senate Homeland Security Committee, it was requested in 2017. They're just now getting it. USCIS, our immigration agency. Wait till you hear these numbers, folks. Your head is going to spin out on this. Approved. There were 5,556 approvals. Associated Press reporting this. For those seeking to bring minor spouses, those who are underage, or fiancés to the country. To men for whom it was illegal to have that relationship. And 2,926 approvals for minors seeking to bring in their older spouses, their pedophiles, to whom they were married. Okay. That's, for those on Common Core math, over 8,000 cases approved. Visas approved. Between 2007 and 2017, over 10 years. Now, here's the appalling part. You think, well, yeah, they wouldn't know. They did. You have to put all that information down. You have to provide your documentation. They had their ages. 13, 14, 15. He's 26, 28, 38, 32. See, that kind of thing is illegal in this country. And I thought we disapproved of it, but apparently it's quite kosher. It's everybody's doing it. Yeah, it's great. Nyla Amin, the girl who heroically ran away. Like I said, I've got to track her down. I've got to talk to her. That what a life story. My sunshine was snatched from my life, she said. But she is outraged that somebody took a look at the visa application for her 26-year-old husband, abuser, and approved it at USCIS. That's a federal agency that approves visas, immigration stuff. Quote, I was a child, she said. I want to know. Why weren't any red flags raised? And she says, look, my age was right there. So was his. Whoever was processing that application, they don't look at it. They don't think. Of course they don't look at it. They try not to think. This is a protected class. Folks, this is not an accident. What's going on our border with our porous border? That's not an accident. It's exactly as the Uniparty wants it. My gosh, I mean, you got a group of people, Muslims, who vote 80%+ Democrat. You can't have them thinking they can't bring their child brides here. They won't come. And if they don't come, they won't vote. Doesn't matter how many women have to suffer. Doesn't have to matter how many women are beaten and assaulted. It doesn't matter how many women end up in foster care, afraid for their lives. God, some days I think I'm the only feminist left on the planet. Now, here's what's remarkable about this. The date it was published. Look at the date. Look at the date it was published. This article by the Associated Press. January 11th, 2019. Good gosh, what day is this? It's the 15th. 4 days ago. Associated Press ran on the wires. It's not like the media didn't see it. It was on the wire. Everybody gets that. Major newsrooms, where's this story? Where's the outrage? I mean, our federal government approved the marriages, the illegal underage marriage, the horrific exploitation and abuse and attack of girls mostly. Over 8,000 times in 10 years across the Bush and Obama administrations. And we got nothing to say about that? We don't care about that? This is not a major story. Are you kidding me? Where's Tim Scott? Asleep. Texter writes, strong 13-year-old girl. Yes, she was. She was 13 when she ran away from him. Good for her. I am so sorry this happens. No girl should have to go through that. And we know that. We know that inherently. We know that. But dual justice system. So I don't, if you're a pedophile listening somewhere, don't think that means you can do this with like an American girl, like a non-Muslim girl. You go get yourself, you go to Pakistan and get yourself one of these girls. So you should bring her here. And apparently the federal government would be fine with that and nobody will care. I don't know how this Associated Press article ended up being printed. I'm amazed by it, but nobody's picked it up. This has not become a major issue. Major pedophilia in front of our faces over 8,000 times and no one cares. Folks, this here's the crazy part. We have their names. We have their addresses. We know where they live. We know their ages. Why can't we go get them? Why doesn't anybody want to go get them? Do you see the latest round? Every time our sheriff's office here busts a bunch of pedophiles, major news. Where are these people? 8,000 of them. Seriously, can you imagine if some Baptist preacher, I don't know, Methodist preacher, pick one, here in Greenville, took the pulpit on Sunday and said, you know, we've got too much sin. So, you know, what the way to avoid the occasion of sin would be for 12-year-olds to be allowed to marry. They should be able to marry. And then, by the way, they should be able to marry anybody, like 26, 36, whatever. Can you imagine the national uproar that would cause? The lectures on toxic masculinity we would get. Where's Gillette on this? Where's anybody on this? I mean, we have the names, the addresses, the ages of 8,000 pedophiles. Isn't that what we used to call them? Before the dual justice system, pedophiles? We got them. Inside USCIS, that's the immigration processing arm of the federal government. More than, there were 5,500 cases for those seeking to bring their minor spouses or fiancés to the country, and 2,926 approvals for minors whose parents sought to bring their older spouses to the country on account of they weren't old enough to. Their names, their ages, birth dates, all that was right there on the application. That was just that was 10 years, by the way, 2007 through 2017. Let's go get them. Isn't that what the FBI does? Isn't that what they do? I'm sorry, that's what they used to do. Come on, let's go get them. I don't want to see another local sheriff's bust of sex offenders caught online, by some guy, some sheriff posing as a minor. And good they do that. I don't, you know, it's fine. But we got actual sex abuse here, not sting operation sex abuse. Actual sex abuse here. It has been 4 days since this Associated Press article ran. People are mostly Muslim, so they won't be touched. So I just want to let you know, child marriage is in vogue now in America. And yeah, we got laws against that kind of thing, but nobody cares. Nobody cares. I'm beside myself over this morning. This is appalling. Mark in Fountain Inn, good morning.
It's freaking disgusting.
Yes, it is.
What it is. And it goes back to Muhammad himself, who took an 8-year-old as a little bride. And people have to, because like you said, there's kids in the cars right now. And looked up the history of what Muhammad did with his little 8-year-old. This goes way back. And because they're Muslims, we think we're going to give them a pass. But this has got to stop. We have got to get back to the basic tenets of what our country was founded on, or this country is going to crumble like the Roman Empire did.
Yeah, and you know, this is the point where normally, Mark, you would say, we need laws against... Wait, we have laws against this.
We have the laws. Yeah, with all these sting operations, we've got it right here in front of their faces, and these guys are standing down because our government officials in the highest places are pedophiles themselves, and they want this stuff. They don't have a problem with it.
And, you know, Mark, I can't prove that last statement you said about our government officials. They're accommodating pedophiles right now. Bring your child bride here, that'll be fine. That'll be fine. Listen, you want to do that in Pakistan, that's not my problem. I hate that it goes on. I'll speak out against it, but that's not my problem. But how on earth did the parents of a 13-year-old girl send her to Pakistan to marry a 26-year-old man and then bring them both back with a visa for him? By the way, do you know what the law is? USCIS is to check the legal marriage age of the spouse, the bride, the child bride, and match it to the state. So if it's a legal age you can marry in the state is 16, then she would have to be 16. They broke the law to help pedophiles bring children here from Middle Eastern countries. Sell them, really. Thank you, Mark. It's amazing. It's amazing. What can't you do if you have liberal privilege?
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.